Welcome back, listeners. Obviously, we have a lot to get into. Understatement of the year. We will get there. We will get to the photo controversy. Don't worry. But I'm going to start on a very happy note. There's no way, Jessica, that we can start this episode anywhere but right here. So on Friday, this past Friday, none other than James freaking Middleton liked our Instagram story. You immediately called me. We had a freak out moment together. We're going to get into his memoir later, but I want you to tell listeners about the post that he liked.
Well, you know, as well as I do, that James Middleton and I both are big dog lovers. And so I enjoy his content when he shares about his dogs. And as you said, we'll talk about it later, but he has a book coming out and he shared a reel talking about his book. And the book does have to do with his love of dogs. And I saw it and shared it on our stories. And I put some little blue hearts up to it and really didn't think much about it. You know, I of course didn't think he would see it. And then I get this notification that Jay Mitty liked the Instagram post. And I said, what? And I all of a sudden clicked who that was. And I called you, Rachel, and you picked up and you said, James Middleton liked our Instagram
post. I said a lot of cuss words, like not because I was angry, obviously, but because I was thrilled. I was like, James effing Middleton liked our post. I mean, that's incredibly surreal. And so that's so cool.
Very
so
cool.
Yes. Hi, James. I'm the 1% that you're, you know, you've migrated to our podcast from Instagram. Hello. And we love you and we want you on the show. And speaking of royally adjacent, actually brothers, which that's a weird tie, but speaking of royal brothers, we on this week on the show, you and I yesterday talked to Earl Charles Spencer. My God, like what a mountaintop moment that was. Listeners, if you don't know who that is the only brother, the younger brother of Princess Diana. And he was the one that eulogized her at her funeral in September of 1997. And it's a face you would recognize for sure. And so we have him as a guest on the show in our Friday interview slot. So that also was like, I can't believe those two things happened within like 3 days of each other. The royal brothers are into podcast royal, I guess, which is just beyond amazing. And we'll talk a little bit more about our conversation with Earl Charles Spencer at the end of the show. But speaking of the Spencer, so quick note, we, as I said, we'll talk more about her father later in the episode, but I wanted to drop a quick congratulations to Lady Kitty Spencer, who we've talked about on the show before. Listeners, you know, I love the Spencer sisters. Kitty Spencer is a new mom. So we actually didn't even know she was pregnant, but on Mother's Day in the UK, which now everyone in the entire world knows was on Sunday. There's no way that you miss Mother's Day on Sunday in the UK. But Lady Kitty Spencer posted on Instagram Sunday that she was a mom alongside a collage of photos. So we have pretty much no other details, no name, no birth date, no gender, but her sister, Lady Eliza Spencer, her younger sister, the twin of Amelia Spencer, revealed that the baby is a girl because she said that she loves her niece or my gorgeous niece or whatever she said. So Kitty, as you'll remember, married Michael Lewis in a lavish Italian wedding back in the summer of 2021, July 24th, 2021, to be exact. And Kitty wore five, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Dolce and Gabbana dresses. So congratulations to the Spencer family.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about her wedding dresses this last week, and I was talking to my mom about it, actually, because I was telling her about our interview, and we were just talking about all the beautiful dresses that she had at her wedding. So yeah. Congratulations. That's so exciting. A new
baby. That's some good news. But okay, so I mean, without further ado, what other story could be at the top of the royal rundown but this? So take it away.
Yeah. So quick, before we jump in here, we know this is, we've got a lot to cover today, and I kind of teed everybody up on our Instagram account, but because we're going to cover this so heavily, because I know people want to hear us chat. I even asked our listeners on Instagram specific topics they wanted us to cover. So I've gone through some of those, and I did, Rachel, we did cut a few other stories from this episode just for the sake of time. So we wanted to dedicate as much time as we could to what we're about to chat about. So let's go ahead and get in it.
Yeah.
We're going to go back over all of this wild news around the mystery surrounding the whereabouts of the Princess of Wales. This Where is Kate Middleton saga has continued. We thought it would blow over after our last episode, and it certainly has not. So Kensington Palace released a surprise photo of Catherine with her children for UK Mother's Day on Sunday. But of course, we all know now, many people think there is more to the photo than maybe meets the untrained eye, I'll say. So, okay. First, I'm going to say I actually had a sneaking suspicion that they might release a photo for Mother's Day, and I didn't say it out loud on the podcast, but just going to say it here and now. I was thinking, you know, how perfect would it be about 2 months past her surgery to give a little update for the public for Mother's Day, a photo with her and her kids. And I was thinking, I bet we'll see something like that. And I feel like, you know, I feel like they were probably planning it. I don't know if they actually had a planned release for Mother's Day, but I sort of feel like maybe it was in the back of their mind or was in the works. But anyway, we had all of these conspiracy theories start popping up around where is Kate Middleton before the Mother's Day photo came out. And like I said last week, I think those kind of prompted that paparazzi photo of her in the car with Carol Middleton. I don't think the palace arranged for the paparazzi photo to be taken. But Rachel, we've talked about this before. They're not dumb. I do think that they know her out riding in a car where paparazzi could be waiting. There was a strong likelihood a photo of her could surface. So, you know, and I think at that point, the conspiracy theories had really spiraled out of control. And I think they knew they needed to respond in some way. And so I think they had the option to wait until Mother's Day to release a photo. But I think they went ahead and decided to let her do a school run. We quickly learned about all these conspiracy theories. And, you know, a lot of them I noticed are not being shared by our regular followers of the royal family. A lot of these what ifs, you know, these clicks are being fueled by these people who are really just chasing the theories and the, I think, the internet traffic that comes with that. And I think the problem with that is they can't be satisfied. You know, once a photo of the paparazzi was leaked, that spiraled into something else and more theories started coming from that. People were analyzing the image. They were questioning if it was even her in the car. To make things even worse, we took a turn over the weekend. And before we get into like the next level of drama, I guess we'll say, let's talk about the photo itself that they released for Mother's Day. So apparently, Prince William took the photo of Catherine and their children last week at home in Windsor. And in the photo, Catherine's sitting in a chair outside, which I think looks like it may be on the porch or patio area of Adelaide Cottage.
Yeah.
And we've got Prince George behind her. He's wrapping his arms around her shoulders. Princess Charlotte's to her left. Prince Louis's on her right. Catherine has her arms wrapped around the waists of Charlotte and Louis. And it looks like a great photo. I mean, I was actually, Rachel, I was kind of imagining Catherine helping William get the picture right. We know she's the photographer in the family. So since William was behind the camera, I sort of felt like she was probably telling him what direction they needed for best lighting. You know, all of their smiles were abundant. Catherine looked happy to be home and, you know, with her family recovering. And
William can be certain he will never be tasked with taking the family photo again. Like, this is a one-shot deal. I seriously doubt this, but I'm like, is he in the doghouse right now?
I know. So Catherine was in this olive green bomber jacket. She had on skinny jeans, ankle boots. The kids were in sweaters. And she shared a message alongside the photo. And it read, "Thank you for your kind wishes and continued support over the last 2 months. Wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day." And then she signed it off with her initial a C. So after that, you know, the official photo came out. More comments started following up with this photo. People started to claim it was an old photo that was shared, and they were asking questions like, where is her wedding ring? Why is she not wearing this? Which we're not even going to get into that because, as an aside, I think that's totally irrelevant. Like, she's at home recovering from surgery, and maybe she doesn't wear her ring at home. Like, it's an expensive ring. I probably wouldn't wear it all the time either, you know?
With children around and,
It may not fit right. It may just not be comfortable to wear all the time. But anyway, so moving on from that, later that afternoon, I actually saw a breaking news story on Sky News, I think it was. That's where I first saw it, where some photo agencies were pulling the photo from distribution because they inspected it and they believed that it was manipulated. And so the agencies that pulled the photo initially were Associated Press, Agence France-Presse, Getty, and Reuters. So these are big name agencies.
Yeah, those are huge news agencies.
The claim by the Associated Press read, at closer inspection, it appears that the source has manipulated the image. So the claim is that there is an inconsistency with the initial claim, at least. There was an inconsistency with the alignment of Princess Charlotte's left hand. And I think I read that in the Telegraph, and that was kind of the initial what was coming out on Sunday. A lot of outlets started highlighting several parts of the photo that appeared to be distorted or blurry or out of place. I mean, it was everything from Princess Charlotte's skirt looked a little weird in certain parts, her hand, her hair. I mean, people were even saying Prince George's shirt had been changed, Catherine's clothing had been changed, her hands looked blurry, the background behind them was distorted. And I mean, I will agree, some parts of the photo to me, when I took a closer look, looked like it had been photoshopped or something had been changed about it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what they were scrutinizing, I really didn't take a ton of issue in or put in a whole lot of stock into that. And I texted you, Rachel, to see if you had seen the story. And I know we were both kind of shocked if this could be happening again. But what was going through your mind when you started seeing all of that?
Yeah, so I had a friend from Birmingham, actually from the Junior League, which, listeners, is where Jessica and I met, just for context, although it doesn't really matter in this context, but Facebook messaged me, actually. And it was a kill notice from the AP, which means that, you know, it's a kill notice is like saying that we're killing it from our servers. We're wiping the photo off of the servers. I didn't really understand because I had heard all day about the wedding ring. And so I did not think at first that it had been manipulated digitally by Kate or by the palace. I thought it had somehow, which in hindsight, I don't know why I thought this, but somehow been manipulated by AI, or like someone had gotten a hold of the photo and had taken, I thought that they had taken her ring off of her to cause controversy and, you know, cause a news story and rumors and more gossip. But then of course, as it came out, learned that well, of course, the next morning, Kate said that she, we'll get there, but I was stunned. I mean, I immediately knew that this was going to be a big story. I was working the Oscars on Sunday night, and so I happened to be working. And so, I mean, the Oscars were literally on in the background, and my team was not covering the Oscars at all. We were covering Kate. So if that tells you how pervasive in culture this story is, that took precedence over everything that was going on at the Academy Awards. So what was your first, I know we were texting, but what was your first, you heard Sky News, what was your first impression?
So my initial thoughts when I went back and looked at the photo was that I thought, you know, this had to have been taken in some sort of like portrait mode or autofocus. Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes when you have a camera on self-portrait or autofocus, it can kind of try to bring certain parts of the photo to the forefront and focus in and causes kind of a blurry effect or some, you know, things can get distorted. And I was thinking, we know Prince William's not a professional photographer. And, you know, it could be that they were trying to use some sort of program to help the image, you know, look a little bit better. You've got three kids you're taking a photo of. But this whole story actually took me right back to the family Christmas portrait that was released last year. When the internet went wild speculating that photoshopping had taken place, and they, you know, you'll remember they were saying Prince Louis looked like he was missing a finger, which I still stand
and
by.
It did look like that, by the way, just saying.
To me, it didn't. It looked like his fingers were just spread really wide on the chair.
That's the beauty of art and photography. Everybody has a different interpretation. Honestly, this Mother's Day photo, and I'm not a trained photographer, obviously, I'm not, and I'm really bad with all things graphic design, but it didn't, like, I looked at the photo and I thought, okay, that looks a little different. Like, I just thought it looked like Kate had lost some weight, which would make total sense because she's just had surgery. I didn't see any initial discrepancies in the clothes. But then once I started to study it, because people were saying it, I did notice. But every eye is different.
Well, this is certainly not the first time a royal or even, of course, a celebrity has released a photoshopped picture.
Are
I mean,
you
it's pretty
kidding?
commonplace.
I think it would be more like egregious to find a celebrity or a magazine cover that didn't suggest a photo than one that did. Come on, let's be real. I'll get into all my thoughts in a minute, but that's really the pot calling the kettle black. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, looking back at this, in my opinion, I do think it was a misstep by Kensington Palace. I think they should have closely reviewed the photo and corrected
Agreed.
those issues before releasing it, especially given the scrutiny the family's already been under in light of all these conspiracy theories.
Exactly.
I think someone should have anticipated that this image would be really closely studied, and I think they should have caught it.
I don't have any issue with Kate right now. I have every issue with Kensington Palace. Kensington Palace left her totally unprotected. And I will talk about this in a moment, but whoever is running that PR team, get rid of them. Nobody should have ever put Kate in this position, whether she is healthy or not. I know they didn't do this intentionally, obviously, but their lack of, you know, dotting every I and crossing every T has put Kate in this position, and that's not okay.
Well, you know, this started fueling rumors about, like I said, if the photo was even current. I know some people thought it may have been pulled from photos taken back in December. You know, people were even analyzing the metadata of the photo. Did you see that, Rachel, and the
I
date
thought
stamp?
that was the most interesting reporting I've done all week, is the metadata of the photo. I can tell you, and I'm not going to because whatever, that like the exact, the photo was apparently edited twice. I can tell you exactly what times the photo was edited on an Apple Mac computer. I mean, it's just crazy what can be the exact Canon camera, the exact Canon lens. It's just crazy.
Yes, they were able to tell the camera when it was edited and that, and, you know, and some people were trying, confirming that, you know, this was taken sometime the week before. And then I saw some others online pushing back saying, well, you can actually change the metadata, so we can't even trust this. And here's what I'll say to that. If you are not going to catch these pretty obvious Photoshop mistakes on the image, are you really going to have the foresight to change the metadata? I don't think so.
No, you're not. I think that some publication counted 16 like weirdnesses in the photo. And so like if the, again, I'm super, super angry at Kensington Palace right now on Kate's behalf, because somebody had to post that. I seriously doubt that the person that hit post on the Prince and Princess of Wales Instagram was Kate herself. Somebody had to sign off on that. Where's the accountability on that?
Well, so the next day we did find out that the image had actually been edited, and we know this is true because we got a statement signed by the Princess of Wales, and she said, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a happy Mother's Day. Again, signed with her initial C. So I have to ask you, Rachel, when that statement came out, it's very unusual to get something like that. So do you think that they made the right choice to release a statement from Catherine?
I think it's very brave. I think that I can, I don't, I mean, I've been, I have met Kate, which sounds like a flex. I'm not really trying for it to sound like that, but I don't know her. And I feel like she was like, no, I'll take the fall. And I've read a lot that she wanted to just be transparent and honest about it. The first thing I thought when I saw that was, that is so unprecedented, and we have killed never complain, never explain. It's over. You know, like that, like we can never go back now. Like we will never go back to the way it was when Queen Elizabeth was on the throne. That era is over. I was stunned in a good way. Like I was really happy to see that ownership, honestly.
You know, I mean, I'm torn because I agree with you, but also I don't think she should have had to do that.
Oh, no, I agree. This never
but
should have
I
happened.
Do,
the photo never should have come out, I don't think.
Right. I do think that, I totally agree with you. I think that was her saying, I'm just going to own this and take responsibility for it.
Yeah. And I have
which
so
says
many
a lot
thoughts.
about her.
It does. It says a lot about her character. And I have so many thoughts on the subject matter. I actually decided to write them all down, because if I did not structure, because I normally don't have my thoughts, my opinions written down. I just, you know, I mean, I'm sure listeners, you're aware that I just word vomit all the time. I did write them down today because I think this is so important. So if it does sound like I'm reading from some notes, listeners, it's because I am. But Jessica, we can unpack afterwards. But I know you've got a couple more details before I get into the diatribe.
So unfortunately, since then, today we've had Instagram has come in and added a warning label on the original family photo posted by the Princess of Wales Instagram account. Yes. And it says that it's got the little red exclamation mark and a triangle. And it says, you know, that it's an altered photo. It's been reviewed by independent fact checkers in another post. And I personally take issue with this. And here's why. I would venture to say that you would be hard pressed to find accounts on Instagram who have not had their photos edited, especially today with, you know, we've got AI infiltrating social media. We've got filters, you know, on Instagram. And so, you know, the Waleses are not unique in their decision to filter and edit an image. And to be singled out by Instagram like this, I mean, why is Instagram not labeling every photo with a warning that it could have been altered? Yeah. You know, I don't think that's fair. It feels like a media attack against the Wales. And honestly, it's giving harassment. Like, I just like by everyone in this who is like calling, you know, blaming them and, you know, making all of this fuss around them. It just feels really unfair to me. Like, they're being.
I had not heard that. And if we all had to put a label on every Instagram photo we filtered, there would not be a one of us without it, right? Like, I mean, maybe one, but people are acting like we don't do this to our photos on Instagram every day, right? Or if we're not personally photoshopping our photos, our photographers are, our professional photos, our Christmas card photos, our wedding photos. Do you think all of those are just perfectly unretouched? If you think that's true, then you've gone off the deep end. That Kate is not doing anything that all of us have not done with our family photos. Period. And okay, so here comes, I'm getting on my soapbox now. I've got a lot to say. I do have organized thoughts, so that will hopefully help us move this along. So first off, I want to add to your great reporting that we saw William and Kate. I don't think we've mentioned this yet. We did see William and Kate together publicly for the first time in all of 2024, unbelievably, yesterday, which was Monday. Mm-hmm. Of course, listeners, you know, we record on Tuesdays. They're riding in a car together, leaving Windsor. William was headed for the Commonwealth Day service at Westminster Abbey. Talk about that in a second, too. And Kate was apparently headed to a private appointment. Okay, here comes my soapbox. And I am, again, if I sound like I'm reading, it's because I am, but I'm going to try and make it not sound so rote. But this is not about me, but I'm going to speak for you as well. Jessica, when I say that being a royal correspondent in 2024 has been dark and harrowing and tough every single day, all day, I write about or read in my research cancer, surgery, a likely self-inflicted death, which today was Thomas Kingston's funeral Tuesday, brothers at war with each other, familial dissidents, so many other issues. I've been a royal correspondent since 2019, and I'm telling you, I thought in 2020 I'd seen it all. I thought I would never have a year like that again, and it somehow continues to get worse. It's dark out here right now.
And I just want to... I want to remind everyone, we started this podcast in 2020 as something lighthearted to escape the toughness of the world. You know, we want to do this and have fun with it.
Yeah, it's not fun out here. It's just not. And, you know, even in our interview yesterday with Earl Charles Spencer, while that was such an honor, and his book, which is called A Very Private School, is such a brave and courageous book. The book is all about physical, sexual, and emotional abuse at a private English boarding school. That book was an extraordinarily difficult read. It was a necessary one. But, you know, if I'm this exhausted and spent and drained, I'm nowhere near even close to being a member of the royal family. I don't know these people. I can't imagine what it's like to have all eyes on you and actually, for example, be Kate herself. And the royal family has always been at the forefront of culture, but I know you'll agree with me. I've having people come out of the woodwork that I haven't spoken to in 10 or 15 years texting me about, as if I have some magic answer to the question. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, if they're not telling, you know, even their closest friends and family, they're certainly not calling me up, but it's just like to a level, it's to a level right now that I've never seen it. Like not even with when Harry and Meghan stepped back, nothing. It's just on a totally different level, and it all feels so dark and so toxic. And I swear everyone I've ever known in my entire life is asking me for my take and what's going on with Kate. I don't know. That's my take. I don't know what's going on with her. I don't have a secret answer. But as I said earlier today, they buried Thomas Kingston, and it puts so much of this in perspective. And off the top, I have no idea what's going on with Kate health-wise. I've heard every conspiracy theory. It's literally my job to go down rabbit hole. I don't report on them, but you know, you have to know and be informed. I absolutely refuse, and I know you do too, Jessica, to play in that pond of conspiracy theories on this show or in my full-time work. It is a fool's errand. It's a rabbit hole that people are going down, I swear, to escape from their own problems in their own lives. And, you know, Kate in particular has always been seen as perfect, right? I mean, I've made like jokes like, oh my gosh, there she goes again, being perfect again. And, you know, in this season of her life, it seems like the detractors like this love the fact that the so-called mighty has fallen. And if anyone, I mean this so sincerely, and I don't care if we get so many unsubscribers, I doubt we will. The true blue podcast royal loyals would never. But if anyone anywhere is getting joy out of another person's suffering, shame on you. Shame on you. So we on this show, and I'm speaking for you, but I know that I'm correct in saying this, we'll never play the conspiracy theory game on this podcast or feed into the offensive and quite honestly stupid rumors about this, that, the other thing with Kate. If you are looking for that, please exit stage left and go find another podcast. We will see you never. But if you are looking for an attempt at the truth, opinions given with empathy and fact-based reporting to the best of our ability, then you can stick around and we would love to have you. And we're not perfect. We're doing the best we can. We all mess up. I still remember in our early days, Jessica, of the show when I called I called it Viscount and it's Viscount, whatever. that's irrelevant. We make mistakes. We're human. But what I'm trying to say here is show more empathy to your fellow man or your fellow woman. And that includes Kate in her time of need. She's Princess Kate. I know we focus so much on the princess, but we forget the Kate in all of it. She's a human being.
And well, that's what I was going to say is I think in this digital world, it's so easy for people to see her as maybe not a real person, just a figure online.
Exactly.
She's a real person behind all of this. She has real emotions.
Yeah, she's a human being. And so is Meghan. And so is every celebrity in the world that people love to hate on. And I, as we've said before, I was shocked and stunned, just like everybody else, at the announcement of her surgery in January. I have said for years, and listeners, you can go back to past episodes and hear me say that I do not and never have understood the PR strategy at the palace. It is baffling to me. This includes during Queen Elizabeth's reign. I've said for so long that it needs an overhaul. And in regards to what happened this weekend with the photo, Kate should have been protected more. I said that a minute ago. She was not protected. She deserves a team who will cross every T, dot every I to make sure that everything she does is as airtight as possible. The entire world, not just the UK, the entire world's eyes are upon her, and she deserves that. And, you know, for whatever reason, William skipping out on King Constantine's memorial service on February 27th is what sent this all to another level. It sent the world into a tailspin. It's become the world's collective hobby. So I wrote this in one of my pieces for Marie Claire this morning. But again, when we think of Princess Kate, we think about the princess. We forget about the Kate. She is a human just like the rest of us. And she is reportedly, as anyone would be, deeply upset, quote unquote, and feels, quote unquote, awful about all of this. And you know what? Her father-in-law is battling cancer right now, lest we forget. I'm sure it probably feels to Kate like she has let him down, let the crown down. And I know that I'm sure that the photo was meant to stop all of this stupid madness, and unbeknownst to her, it made it even worse. So I don't even know how to use Photoshop. If you paid me $1 million, I couldn't do it. But I don't know, as I just said, I don't know a single person who doesn't filter their Instagram photos, for example. It's six and one half dozen of the other. If you all think that you're holier than thou because you filter your Instagram photos and don't Photoshop your family Christmas cards or your family Mother's Day cards, that it's the same thing, people. It's the same dang thing. And so don't get holier than thou about something that literally everybody does. The edits that Kate made were, I did this in my reporting this morning, reportedly to help her kids look the best they could. It's about her kids, guys. And, you know, from my research, there were a whopping two edits made on Photoshop Friday night, Saturday morning. And again, I'm not even going to speculate what those were, but the media is putting the palace, and this is where I think it gets really dark. The media is putting the palace in a bit of a chokehold, because what if what Kate edited out, which we don't know what that is, gave insight into her health condition, right? Like, what if she had something edited out that would have betrayed what her privacy, right? And betrayed what's going on with her. We don't know. And the media demanding the release of the original photo, while I do understand where that comes from, if it's at the cost of betraying her privacy and her health issues, privacy, I believe that she is owed as far as what she chooses to share about herself. I think it's telling, actually, that they haven't, at least as of right now, taken down that photo from Instagram, and that Kate herself was the one who apologized. That takes courage. And that, as I said, flies in the face of never complain, never explain. That shows modernizing. I like that. She owned her mistake. She could have said nothing. They could have just not acknowledged it, or at least had the palace acknowledge it, not her personally. But she, as I've said, wanted to be honest and probably model the way for her kids. And I do believe in my heart that Kate is a good person at her core. I promise you, I'm not saying this to have a flex or whatever the kids call it these days, but I have spent, you know, a significant enough amount of time in a room with her, not one-to-one, but we were in a small room together where I didn't have a camera. She didn't have to be nice to me. She could have been rude to me. She could have blown me off. No one would have been the wiser. That's not how she was. She was gracious. She was kind. And that is who I'm thinking of right now, is Kate the person, not Kate the princess. And so I promise I'm almost done with my diatribe. But on the flip side of the coin, I also realize that the monarchy is a taxpayer-funded institution. There's no hard line for what the public is owed when it comes to this information. But the way I see it is, as the public, that their career as a royal, so as Princess of Wales in this example, is quote unquote owned. Okay. But you don't own them as a human being. It's kind of like at work. You know, if you're messing up on the job, right? And I know the lines are a little bit blurry because, you know, their work-life balance is, you know, probably more messed up than most of us. But, you know, when you're off the clock at work, unless you're like getting arrested or doing something illegal, then your personal life is your personal life. We are entitled to privacy about our health, if we so choose. I see a private health matter as a personal issue. If Kate or whoever, William, the king, the queen, whatever, was making grave mistakes inside of their performance as a royal, that's another matter. But she's sick, and stress, as we all know from our own lives, makes everything worse, and I cannot imagine the stress that she's under. So my one final sentence is, just be kind to Kate. Be kind to your neighbor, be kind to yourself, and just have a little empathy, people, and don't get your jollies off and your rocks off on someone else's pain. If you're doing that, you really need to check yourself and look yourself in the mirror and get some help. And I'm going to step off my soapbox now, because I'm getting angry. I'm getting mad the more that I talk about it, because it's just so unfair.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier on, you know, and what could be done to help this along. And there was a point where I was thinking, you know, maybe the palace could have or should have released, you know, something earlier on, or, you know, a photo that hadn't been edited or whatever. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, actually, given the way the public has harassed this family, honestly, it would make me want to dig my heels in more and say, no, I said after Easter and I'm sticking to it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It makes me even more defensive of them and what they've chose as far as their timeline for healing. And, you know, going back to something you mentioned, I know you said the lines are blurry when it comes to them being taxpayer funded, but I do think it's time to draw some lines between the private health of the royals and, you know, what they're there to do. Everyone out there has an expectation for the privacy of their health data. We've got major laws around this in the US and in other countries. So Why are people demanding information like this on the royals? UK tax dollars pay for their work. And in exchange for that work, you know, they get a salary, they get living allowances, but you don't pay for an open diary of their personal family and health information.
That's
you just
right.
don't, you know?
That's right.
I think they should be treated with the same level of privacy any employee would receive when on medical leave. And, you know, those questions about health, they can't be asked at work. It's not permissible to demand an employee disclose their health information. And I think that same rule should apply to the royals, you know, especially those like Kate who are not head of state.
Correct. That's another great point. She's not the monarch. She's not the monarch. Yes, she will be queen consort one day, but she's not even the queen consort right now. And I would say the same thing about Camilla. I think in addition to, you know, if it were me wiping the doggone slate clean at Kensington Palace, I mean, I don't want people to lose their jobs. So I don't want to be that malicious, but something needs is okay. So maybe we keep everybody, but something's got to change. I mean, like, obviously there's some precedents that need to be set, some things that need, I'm obviously not Kate's mom, but I'm in like mama lion mode for Kate right now, because it just, she was left really unprotected and out to dry, and that's not fair. So I, obviously believe that in releasing this photo, Kate was trying to help the situation. And William took the photos, we've said, at Adelaide Cottage. He's not a professional photographer. The reason for that is because Kate is still recovering, and only the closest of closest people to her are getting access to Adelaide Cottage right now. Again, people make mistakes. I actually like Kate more after this, that she's not so freaking perfect. Like, she's like, you know, she's a human. And I think this humanizes her. She's not perfect. Welcome to the club. I'm the president of the not perfect club. It's a crowded room in here in the imperfect club. And, you know, showing people grace for an error that does not, people hear me when I say this, affect your daily life. Does Kate doing this affect your daily life? Is your life made worse because Kate photoshopped a photo of her kids twice? No, I don't think it is. I think you're all right. It's just, that's just called being a good human being. Sorry, back on the soapbox now, but I wrote today that whether it's Kate or Meghan or insert any other celebrity who is caught up in a firestorm, you know what? Next week or next month, the collective body will have completely moved on and they will have forgotten about this. I promise, as pervasive as this is right now, I think it will change the royal family, hopefully for the better. But there will be another scandal or controversy that will happen, and we will move on from this. But Kate herself will not forget this. She will not forget this. This is damaging to her. This, remember, this is not even just her employer. This is her family, right? Mm-hmm. This is her family. And she is a princess by job title, but she's a person by birth. So here's the new rule, as far as I'm concerned. I'm instituting a rule. I hope you're okay with it, Jessica. The only people allowed to mock and lambast and mercilessly criticize celebrities who make mistakes are those among us who have never made a mistake themselves. And I don't know if all of you hear that noise, but yeah, it is deafening silence, because all of us are mistake makers. All of us are human. And I would like to, I'm not even a mom, but I would like to know, I have a lot of friends that are, I'd like to know any mom or any parent that wouldn't be willing to turn to a slight photo notification or modification rather to save the family Christmas card or whatever it is, or a bride that would be okay with slightly photoshopping an error out of their beautiful wedding photo to make it look better. It's not a total alteration. It's like a slight modification. So let's get real with ourselves and step out of our ivory towers and just into the real world, and let's all heal our own lives while Kate heals her body. There goes my mic dropped, you know, proverbially. My final word is this: Kate needs to be protected. She's got enough alligators swarming the moat outside her proverbial, or I guess in her case, semi-literal castle. But, you know, make sure the people inside the palace walls fully have your back and know what they're doing. And I've said my piece for now. Maybe I'll have more later. But what do you think, my dear?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I do think it's fair, and we do this on this podcast, to critique or question, you know, decisions that the monarchy makes about, you know, X, Y, Z. But that's completely different than harassing an individual and trolling someone. And so, you know, I just want to draw that distinction there. Like, you know, it's okay to ask if the monarchy is focusing on the right things, or if they're being transparent with the public, or, you know, whatever they're owed to the public, if they're following through on that. But This is not that. This is attacking the personal private life of an
That's right.
individual.
That's
And
right.
that's where I think that line needs to be drawn. So I do agree with you. You know, I'm seeing media outlets now asking, you know, again, can the royals be trusted? You know, are we going to continue to question everything that they put out? And again, that's, to me, that's an issue that goes back to the palace, whether it's Kensington Palace or Buckingham Palace. Like, there's got to be some more accountability there. And some, you know, somebody overseeing these decisions to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
I agree.
So, you know, again, I'm going to echo what you said, Rachel. If, you know, we can all relate to wanting to put our best self out there. If you've ever gotten married, if you've had photos of your children, you've had professional headshots taken or Christmas cards, you are totally guilty of having editing done, or shall we say, having manipulated your photos of yourself and sharing them with others. So, and I do also want to mention, other royal families are guilty of Photoshop blunders as well. So just recently, actually back in January, I don't know if you remember this, Rachel, the Danish royal family, who we all know and love, they shared a 13th birthday photo on social media of King Frederick and Queen Mary's twins, Vincent and Josephine. The image actually shows the twins standing side by side in the photo. However, it was uncovered that they appear to have been cropped from an older photo and actually photoshopped into this new one standing together. And someone caught this online because their outfits and their poses are the same as they are in the photo they took for their older brother, Prince Christian's 18th birthday last fall, or Crown Prince Christian, I think he goes by now. So this has, you know, has been done again. This is not some new, oh my gosh, everybody, you know, and I think people are freaking out because a lot of people, especially in the U.S., like I said, they're not royal followers, especially outside of our UK royals. They probably have no idea that this has been done before by others. So
every magazine cover that you've ever looked at since this technology, since Photoshop was created, has had some at least minimal retouching, if not maximal retouching. So let's be real with ourselves.
And I just think there's a lot of throwing rocks when living in a glass house.
Yeah.
You know, people are chasing the clicks. They're chasing the rush of the conspiracy theories. And I just feel like the Princess of Wales is being bullied on an extreme level. I really do hope that there is someone there who can help her retreat from the storm online so she can just be fully away from it. Because like you said, I can't imagine the toll that it could be taking on someone who's already under a lot of stress as she recovers from a serious surgery.
Yeah.
And the level of the attacks that she's gotten, in my opinion, are truly disgusting.
Agree. So, and can you say if you're comfortable what you said to me before we started recording about what this reminds you of?
Yeah, I said, you know, the way this feels to me is the level of harassment that we're seeing in the media. It's reminiscent of what we talk a lot about with Princess Diana and the constant photographs that, you know, no privacy at all. People were just bombarding her constantly. And that's what this feels like.
Yep. And it felt with Diana back in the 90s, like people had the press, I mean, had an agenda. And I say the press, knowing I am a member of it, but not like that. You know, it's like they had an agenda. They had a narrative for Diana and they took the photos. They wrote the stories to fit it. Now it feels like they're doing the same thing to Kate. Kate is in the wrong and everything else. In journalism school, they call that agenda setting, where the media tells you how to think. As a journalist, please fight against that. Don't believe the hype. And I agree, it's totally reminiscent of Diana.
Well, I did ask our followers on Instagram if they had any questions for us, and I did pull a few for us to answer on here. And I don't know if we want to go through all of them, Rachel, but someone asked, who is in charge of their media platforms? Are they posting themselves? So, no, Prince William and the Prince and Catherine are not, they're not grabbing their phones and posting on their social media. They've got a PR team and a communications team within Kensington Palace. And I would venture so far as to say, and this is not unique to them, any high level executive or anyone anywhere has people on their staff that help them draft statements. So you know, they probably more than likely have someone who helped draft statements that they put out and manage their social media pages. They, you know, they're the ones kind of taking these reels, making sure photos are posted, managing their image. And so I don't know if you want to add to that, Rachel.
No, there's no way that they have Instagram, the Prince and Princess of Wales Instagram on their phone. And they're just like posting,
yeah,
you know, like sitting there, like on Sunday, sitting around the breakfast nook. No, I mean, they have a dedicated team for this.
Well, and this goes back to what you were saying about Kensington Palace. They're trusting the palace to handle a lot of this.
To
on
have their
back.
That's what their job is. And they failed in that.
Okay. So someone else asked, do you think they redid an old photo? My feeling on this is no. I think what probably happened is they had the family, they took multiple shots that afternoon, and they used some photo editing tools to help piece together the best smiles of everyone and put them together in the photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I read somewhere where I don't remember who said it, to be honest with you, but there, where it was like, you know, when you have three kids, 10 years old and younger, how rare is it to get a photo where all three of the kids are smiling, where all three of the kids are engaged? So yeah, I think it was a photo taken on Friday, and it was some slight editing to, as Kate, her, well, reportedly said, to, it was to help the kids. Make like to help the kids mm-hmm. all mesh and fit together.
Yep. So someone else asked, will they ever share another photo again? How exhausting this must be for them. I totally agree. Yeah. You know, I do think we'll see more photos of them in the future. I think the question is when, you know, when will they decide to do this again? Because to your point, it, you know, they wanted to do something to share a little glimpse of their personal life with the public, and look how it backfired.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be reticent too. I mean, any of us would, you know, but I mean, I was on their Instagram earlier today, and they're professional photos, obviously, but from the Commonwealth Day Service. So they're posting. I still think it's really important that they haven't taken the photo down, which to me says we have nothing to be ashamed of. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I imagine at some point we'll probably see a photo, or I'm sorry, some live footage of, you know, the family at an engagement before, you know, once Catherine's back at work again. You know, I think they'll probably do some kind of public appearance like that at some point this year, hopefully.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's just me being hopeful. So,
yeah.
Okay. And then I've got one more that we'll include here just for the sake of time. We're going to cut some of these, but, a comparison of the British versus American media coverage of the situation. So I can't comment too much on this just because I'm not in the UK. Now, I do follow some media outlets that are based in the UK, and I've seen some reporting on that. Just from what I have witnessed and from what I've heard, I think some of the media coverage is similar in the US and the UK, but yeah. I actually think the questioning and the conspiracy theories and that type of reporting is probably a lot heavier in the US. I think
totally.
There are, I
oh,
think
yeah.
It feels, at least for us, like there's a lot more people interested in this story that don't have the facts or really know the full story, really, really getting into it in the US, in my opinion. I don't know that if there's that much of the conspiracy theories going on in the UK. What do you think, Rachel?
Oh, I agree. I mean, my litmus test is if you could not tell someone where William and Kate lived a month ago, like that they lived at Adelaide Cottage in Windsor or whatever, or, you know, anything other than the absolute basics, then you really shouldn't be commenting. It just really feels like everyone has glommed onto this and has just like taken them like a deep, deep dive down the Twitter or X or whatever the hell they call it now, rabbit hole. And they just, yeah, I mean, I just think that it's become a sport for them, and bullying has become a sport. And yeah, I think it's, I can tell you from personal experience that people in my life that have never cared one single lick about the royals, and I know that because I don't even discuss my work with them, and I'm like all royals all the time. Now they're like so deep into this and obsessed with it. And I'm like, okay, but 2 months ago, you couldn't have cared less about this. So, you know, scurry off to your other side of the street where you care about whatever you care about. So anyway,
well,
it just feels tougher in the US. So
I agree. Yeah. Thank you to our followers who submitted those questions and shared your thoughts with us. I did check those out, and I hope we included some that maybe everybody was kind of curious on. So that's all we're going to say about this.
I think we've said enough.
I was going to say, I think we've got a full episode at this point. So we do have a few other items in the Royal Rundown that we want to run through. We're not going to hit really many of our other segments today for the sake of time, but why don't we go ahead and hop to our next story?
Yeah, we cut a lot, and listeners, you'll forgive us for that, so we don't bring you a 2-hour episode, but I loved this story so much, there was no way that we could lose it on the cutting room floor. So Prince Edward turned, ironically on Sunday, on March 10th, turned 60, landmark milestone birthday, and Sophie, his wife, made some just really sweet comments. Talk about being unprecedented. I mean, I think, you know, most of the royal family, when it comes to their love lives, are pretty pretty close to the vest, but we just had some beautiful comments from Sophie about her husband. So as I said, Prince Edward had a milestone birthday since our last episode. He turned 60 this past Sunday, March 10th. And since there was no other royal news going on, I'm sure that you all know that, she said sarcastically. But listeners, for those of you who may not know, although I'm not sure how, Edward is the youngest of the Queen and Prince Philip's 4 children. He was the Earl of Wessex until last year when he rightfully became the Duke of Edinburgh. His older brother, King Charles, gave him that title. And at an engagement this past week, Sophie, his wife, the Duchess of Edinburgh, shared some wonderfully kind words about her husband of almost 25 years. By the way, in June, they will mark 25 years married, June 19th. So that is a great day to get married, by the way. Totally personal side note, because my grandparents, who I adore, were also married that day in 1949. Their marriage lasted until my grandfather passed away in 2007. Anyway, you're not here for that piece of information, listeners. But successful though their marriage is, Edward and Sophie are normally pretty, as I said, close to the vest about the mushy gushy stuff. But when you turn 60, you know what? You deserve a little mush. So I'm not going to read all of her comments. They're actually quite extensive. I love that. But she said she wanted to, quote, share a small tribute to my darling husband as he celebrates his 60th birthday this Sunday. Keep in mind that these are not written comments. She's giving a speech. So that makes it a whole extra level of romantic. So she admitted she knew, quote, he will be horrified at seeing me up here speaking about him in public without looking at him. I'm guessing he will now be sitting back with his slightly narrowed eyes, possibly with his arms folded or one arm stretched out across the table, and to all intents and purposes, looking identical to his father when I made speeches about him, she said, referencing, of course, Prince Philip. So Philip, of course, was the Duke of Edinburgh before Edward. And she continued of Edward now. This is so sweet. He has been my guide and shown me the way over the years. He has given me much help and advice, not always taken, I admit. And his knowledge and instincts that have been honed over decades of service are invaluable. So we share speech notes, not this one, sorry, darling, chat through issues our patronages may be tackling, and together I think we make quite a good team. She continued that she is so proud of the man he is and said he is the best of fathers, the most loving of husbands, and still is my best friend. So here's to you, my darling Edward, and may I, along with all your family and so many friends and many others, wish you the happiest of birthdays. That was not even close to all of what she said. I cut quite a bit of it. So, not surprisingly, a photo captured Edward wiping a tear from his eye, which again is also very unprecedented. So, I want you all to know that as I read her words, I started crying. So, so sweet. Happy birthday, belated to the Duke of Edinburgh from the podcast Royal Family. And yes, also, this is kind of becoming a running theme of Big Bro Charles giving little bro Edward a new title on his birthday every year. But the king appointed the Duke of Edinburgh to the Order of the Thistle in Scotland, which is, we've talked about this on the show before, the highest royal honor in Scotland. So Edward deserves it all, and belated happy birthday.
Yes, happy belated birthday. And I kind of hate that I feel like it was a little overshadowed.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, speaking of other royals who have been a little overshadowed, I do want to briefly mention, Princess Anne. I actually think we probably should have had this in the last episode, but we've just been bombarded with so much royal news. But she was recently in Dubai. So she was there in her role of president of the Seafarers, and she visited the Queen Elizabeth II Hotel, which is very cool, a floating hotel. It's like a ship, I guess, a hotel on a ship. So interestingly, though, the detail everyone noticed about this visit was the aquamarine dress that Princess Anne was wearing, and it appears to be a dress she has owned since 1978. We know she is a sustainable girly.
Sustainable girly. I'm sorry. That's like the last just sorry. That's like a very Gen Z phrase for a very non-Gen Z person. But anyway.
Trying to work in my Gen Z lingo here.
Yeah,
So.
You're doing the Gen Z lingo over here. Work it out. Work it out.
She first wore the dress when the president of Botswana visited London, like I said, back in 1978. And it's actually been recognized that it was reminiscent of her mother and her choosing to wear this again, because the late Queen Elizabeth actually wore the same hue when she first launched this Queen Elizabeth II ship in Glasgow in 1967. So
cool.
A sweet little callback to an outfit that her mother wore.
I love
cool.
that. I love that so much. Our loved ones that have dearly departed are never far from our minds. And I just heard this literally 5 minutes before we started recording, but this has nothing to do with James Middleton's memoir, which we're going to spend the bulk of the last part of our episode talking about. But Omid Scobie is coming out with a new book, and it's not nonfiction. It is a fiction book, and it's called The Royal Spin. And very briefly, I'm just off the cuffing this, but it's about a woman who goes from working at the White House to Buckingham Palace in PR. So maybe she can, you know, clean up some things. But anyway, so let's talk about James Middleton's memoir. So I teed this up at the top of the show. But James Middleton, who we don't have to tell you is the brother of the Princess of Wales, is writing a memoir. It is out September 26th. But before you think that James is going to go full Gary Goldsmith, Uncle Gary, Celebrity Big Brother UK on us, like Jessica talked about last episode, he is not going to do that. He is not going to do that. In fact, the memoir is about him, but only through the eyes of his beloved dog, Ella, who we've spoken about frequently on the show. Because we love dogs, especially I love dogs, but Jessica loves dogs, like James Middleton level loves dogs.
I am on Instagram, so the algorithm has learned that I like dogs. And when I am scrolling reels, every time there's a dog, I find myself, I don't easily cry at a lot of stuff, but I am usually a mix of laughing and crying at all the sweet dog reels.
Yes. You and James are both on that level of loving dogs, which I think all of us love dogs, but not like that. Totally. Like, who writes a memoir about their dog? I mean, like, this is a special guy. So Ella came into James' life when he was 20 years old. For context, he's born in 1987. His birthday's in April. So that makes, how old are we?
Is he about we'll be 37 in April.
So he's 37. So this is a long time ago. And Ella died in January of 2023. So his book looks to be the literal opposite of spare, and it is called Meet Ella, the Dog Who Saved My Life. So I cried at this too, but James said of his decision to write the book, quote, "Now, as many of you know, I credit Ella to saving my life when I was eclipsed with clinical depression. And she passed away just over a year ago. I was heartbroken. We were inseparable for 15 years. So I decided to share her journey through this book. I know many of you have your own Ellas or might be in need of one. I hope this book will also help us to talk more openly about our mental health, our need for connection, and the way in which the animals that we think we are taking care of are actually looking after us in return." I can feel you getting emotional over there, but so I'm going to let you compose yourself while I finish this. So he told Tatler, "Ella was there at so many of the important moments of my life." I'm getting emotional too, including when I met Alize. Alize is his wife, listeners. Our son was born after Ella passed away. So I'm always mispronounced this sweet little boy's name, Inigo. Never got to meet her, but it's important to me that he knows all about her. Of course, referring to his wife and their baby boy who was born last fall. Back to James. Another of the reasons that I wanted to write this book was so that I could tell, I can never pronounce this. I need to figure out how to pronounce his son's name. Inigo, the story of how I met his mother. He said of the anecdote about how he met Alize after, this is the cutest story, after Ella ran up to her in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I would go so far as to say that I owe Ella my life. And she doesn't know that. So if only we could all be loved by someone the way James loves Ella. And we've spoken about this before on the show. He even has a natural pet food company named Ella & Co. Actually, it just got renamed. He founded it in 2020 in her honor. Last summer, he renamed the company James & Ella. So I can't wait to read this book. And I know that you feel the same.
Yeah, I can't wait either. And I love hearing about that. It's so heartwarming. And, you know, if I could interview James and ask him one question, this burning question that I've been wanting to know is where he got that little trinket, that little charm of Ella's face painted that he carries in his pocket with him everywhere he goes. We've seen him share the picture of it on Instagram before. And I'm so curious about where he got that, because it's so beautiful and such a special memory. I know, listeners, you guys know my dog of almost 13 years passed away last spring. And I actually had a necklace that I ordered, and it's a heart. And on one side of the heart, his name is on it, and the other side of the heart is my name. And I wear it every day. And so when I saw James Middleton's little charm that he carries, I really loved it. So,
well, we're putting it into the ether that we want you on the show, James. So hopefully we can make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, I did have one other interesting story that caught my eye this week that I wanted to throw in here. So, you know, I'm sure you remember Rachel Penny Mordaunt, the leader of the House of Commons. She carried the sword of offering at King Charles' coronation. And we talked about her a lot on the podcast. So she actually, I think, made our list of best dressed at the coronation with her teal, I think it's a Sophia cape dress that she wore. And she had the matching headpiece and had this beautiful like gold leaf embroidery. I mean, she was all over the news. She really made headlines with that outfit. Well, it is being reported she's selling her viral coronation dress, and it did go viral. So you may be asking, why would you sell? I wouldn't sell this dress.
No, I wouldn't either.
I'm asking, why is she selling this? So she said that she could never wear it again unless she was going to a fancy dress party dressed as herself. So I guess she feels like she's seen herself enough in this dress, and it would be so recognizable that it would be something she wouldn't really be able to wear again. So after that realization, she said, and I'm quoting her, "It struck me it ought to do some good. It's such an iconic dress that it ought to go on and do some other good things." So she also confirmed that any money she receives from the sale of the dress will go toward enabling projects in her local constituency of Portsmouth. So very cool. Hopefully someone will purchase it and have a really awesome dress in their wardrobe.
I love that. I think the booth from the final scene of The Sopranos just sold for like 80 grand. So maybe she'll get something like that and give it all to charity. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
So awesome. Okay, let's go to the Sussex corner for a minute. So I teed this up last week. It was already known by the time we recorded last week that Meghan was headed to Austin to give a keynote at South by Southwest. So Harry joined her, which I think is cool. So they went to Austin, Texas for Meghan's participation in a panel on women in the media at the opening day of South by Southwest that happened to fall on Friday, March 8th, which is International Women's Day. I actually was listening to that panel when you called me and we freaked out about James Middleton. So how about that? Total full circle moment. So Meghan did a great job alongside luminaries like Katie Couric, Brooke Shields. Harry proudly sat front row supporting his wife. Meghan actually shouted him out at one point. And the night before the panel, they had dinner at Soho House in Austin. Of course, listeners, you'll remember that their very first date was at a Soho House in London back in the summer of 2016. And I think this is actually super cool. So on Thursday, the day prior, a report that was founded by Archwell was released with Moms First and the Gina Davis. Of course, Gina Davis is a famous actress, League of Their Own, many other films. Gina Davis Institute on Gender and Media that analyzed the portrayals of moms in the media. Meghan said in a statement to Vanity Fair, "My past experience as an actress and now today as a producer and mother have amplified my belief in the critical importance of supporting women and moms, both behind the lens and in front of it." And by the way, this story would have been like so much higher up had the whole photo situation not happened, but I think it's super cool. Anyway, back to her. "This report about the portrayal of mothers in entertainment highlights the gaps we need to fill to achieve true representation in the content we create and consume, and I'm honored to support this work through the Archwell Foundation." I do want to share these findings because I think it's kind of interesting. Probably not surprisingly, the study found that moms on TV were not representative of the American population. Most were white, young, and thin. The father was the breadwinner in the family 90% of the time, and their childcare efforts were largely not even talked about. So Gina Davis, again, famous actress, she also told Vanity Fair, "The representation of motherhood seemed like such a throwback. It didn't reflect modern reality anywhere near as closely as I had hoped or imagined." So again, I think that's pretty cool. And quick aside that's unrelated, I had a chance to catch an advanced screening of Scoop. We've talked about this on the show, the movie about Andrew's disastrous Newsnight interview. It's so good. So again, okay, that's out on Netflix on April 5th. Recommend. Good stuff.
I was also a little hesitant about that, so
watch it. It's like an hour and 47 minutes. It's worth your 2 hours. So this is a late ad, but while in Texas, I think this is really sweet. Harry and Meghan spent time with the family of one of the victims of the elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. I'm sure all of you remember that awful shooting in Uvalde at I don't think it was called Uvalde Elementary School. I think it was called Robb Elementary School in May 2022. So Meghan at the time actually went down to Uvalde that same month, just days after the tragedy, and honored the victims. Well, while they were in Texas, the couple popped in and they sang happy birthday to the sister of teacher Irma Garcia, who was one of the victims of the school shooting. Meghan held a birthday cake. Harry stood behind her in the surprise visit. And when she visited Uvalde nearly 2 years ago, a spokesperson for Meghan said that she took the trip in a personal capacity as a mother to offer her condolences and support in person to a community experiencing unimaginable grief. And I love that. And very late breaking news item that was just happened today. Meghan won the defamation lawsuit brought against her by her half sister, Samantha Markle. So that news just broke this afternoon. So I can't believe we've been at this for this long and we are just now getting to Commonwealth Day service. I thought that was going to be our top story, but the media had other plans. So
yeah, tell
us about Commonwealth Day.
Yeah, we'll just hit on this real quick. So this year's Commonwealth Day service was held this past Monday, March 11th. It was at Westminster Abbey in London. We know the Prince of Wales was there, but we also saw Queen Camilla and the Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh. So since King Charles is not currently attending public-facing engagements, he was not there in person, but he did have a virtual message that he shared where he described the Commonwealth like, I thought this was interesting, like the wiring of a house. Mm-hmm. The people, energy, and ideas are the current that runs through the wires and are strengthened by sharing perspectives and experiences. So he also said in return for all of the good wishes he's received in light of his current health, that he will continue to serve to the best of his ability throughout the Commonwealth. And fun fact, this year is the 75th anniversary of the Commonwealth, and King Charles is also 75. So cool. They're kind of twinsies.
That's very twins. Are you Gen Z now? Have you jumped ship on millennials and now you have gone Gen Z on me? Is that even a Gen Z phrase anyway? But well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm about to say your favorite word here. So following the service, there was a reception at Marlborough House.
I can't say that word. I can't say it. I don't know why.
Well, so aside from that, I really kind of felt like there was little footage from news outlets on this. I did see a little bit. I saw some social media posts from Buckingham Palace. I just felt like the coverage on this was limited. You know, usually we're talking all about fashion and we're talking about everything going on there. But, you know, it was just kind of overshadowed with everything in the news this week. But you know, I saw a few shots of William and Queen Camilla kind of chuckling together and smiling and looking mm-hmm. like they were having a good time. So yeah, it was on Monday.
Yes, it was.
That's the update.
That's about all we got for you guys. It was on Monday.
Like, and you know, I saw a few statements from King Charles and a few social media posts, but it was kind of limited.
Well, I'll say this one last sentence about it, which again, like you said, Commonwealth Day would normally be like number one, but here we are. But the theme this year is One Resilient Common Future, Transforming Our Commonwealth. About 2,000 guests were expected to attend Monday's service at the Abbey, and like we said, would normally be top billing, but not this year.
Well, I do want to chat about Queen Camilla really quickly, since we just mentioned she was at the Commonwealth Day service. I think this is also a story that we probably should have had in last week, but I'm going to squeeze it in now. So, because I think we've had an update since our last episode. But she recently, I thought this was cool, opened up Buckingham Palace for the BBC's 500 words competition. And she took the stage to announce the winners. So as we know, the Queen is passionate about literacy. She has had her own book club for a while. She now has a podcast where she highlights talented writers. So I thought this was really a fitting event for her to be a part of. And, you know, we haven't really heard much about the 500 words competition for a little while because it's actually been paused for 3 years, but it has returned. And this year there were over 44,000 people involved in participating in this event this year. It's first year back in a while. The competition, if you're not familiar with it, it is specifically for young writers. So there's two categories. There's those between the ages of 5 and 7 and those between the ages of 8 and 11. And the finalists got to visit the Buckingham Palace ballroom.
Well, that's
how
cool.
Exciting would that be for a kid?
Yeah, for sure.
So their writings were read, and the queen told the participants, she said, and I'm quoting her, "Each one of you is a brilliant writer with the power to conjure magic with your pens and lead us on escapades with your keyboards." So the queen's been working with the competition since 2015, and if you saw the reels on Instagram or some of the other coverage on this, I thought Buckingham Palace looked like a Hollywood stage. And I really loved that the podium on the stage looked like a big stack of books that Camilla was standing up there. And there was a microphone coming out of the top. And it was really cool. Did you see it, Rachel?
No, as a reader and a writer, I'm ashamed to say I haven't. But that's awesome. That
yeah, this like is my right kind up your of alley. Thing.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, that was quite the royal rundown today.
My God, like I need a nap and like a drink after that, to be honest with you. That was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, before we close it out, we do have one quick little update from royals around the world. So King Harald of Norway, you know, we've talked about the infection that he contracted while he was in Malaysia. He has actually had a successful pacemaker surgery back home in Norway. He'll be in the hospital for a few days recovering, but we do continue to send him our very best wishes and prayers for a speedy recovery.
Yes, I'm so glad he's back home in Norway. So speedy recovery, Your Majesty, and we can't wait to see you up and at it soon. Okay, well, we're done. My gosh, like we need, I wish that we were in the same town. I'd be like, let's go get a drink somewhere. My gosh. But I think I already spoiled this. I was going to keep it till the end of the episode, but I think I already blew it. But we had the opportunity this week to interview none other than Earl Charles Spencer. And he's the Spencer sister's dad. I think that's so cool. Of course, he's Princess Diana's brother and an incredible person in his own right. So he had a book that came out yesterday, March 12th, called A Very Private School. It is a memoir of his own. And on Friday, you'll get to hear our conversation with him. I still cannot believe that happened. And the book is absolutely powerful and harrowing. Listeners, it will certainly make you rethink the conversation about whether to send, for example, Prince George to boarding school. And you know, I love the Spencer sisters, Kitty, Eliza, Amelia. They were raised away from what he called a classically English upbringing after he sought a fresh start for them and moved his family to South Africa, which I always kind of wondered why that happened, but now I totally get it. And that's how damaging his time in boarding school was. So I can't wait for you to hear that conversation.
It was really, you know, a pleasure to speak with him, but it was such a hard conversation to have. Yeah. But he was absolutely wonderful to talk to. And I really hope listeners will check that out and check out his book. So that will be out on Friday of this week.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on another conversation, listeners. I think we had quite a lot to catch up on today. And if you want to continue the chats, as Rachel and I like to say, we love checking our DMs and engaging with followers over on Instagram. So come hang out with us over there. We are at Podcast Royal. If you want to share your thoughts or you want to ask us a question that we can answer on the podcast, you can always DM us on Instagram or you can send us an email at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. And thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to episode 130 of Podcast Royal. Bye.
Bye.